Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com. A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everybody, welcome to the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Tilford, joined by Josh Brown.
Hello, Scott.
And only Josh Brown, because Benoit Turner is off doing some sort of wrestling coverage, I believe. Some sort of Stone Cold and The Rock, WrestleMania 17. I can't say. But he's away for this week, so we just thought we would open up a can of whoop tush, because there's all sorts of E3 things to talk about. Now, it's full on E3 season. We'll probably do another last minute rumors thing next week, depending on what breaks between now and then. But for the sake of this week, we just thought we'd round up the most insane things that at least have a little crumb of potential for it to come. You never know. Some of them are just things that just feel like everything's pointing in that direction, so we might as well talk about it. So we've got, about 8 to 10 crazy things, and we'll see how many we can get through. The first one was one of yours, which is Hideo Kojima doing a game exclusively for Microsoft, and the game that started as the horror game he was going to do for Google Stadia, now becoming an Xbox exclusive. What made you think of that, and what's your thoughts on this thing?
There have been myriad rumors around Kojima Productions and what that team's next game is going to be. For a long time, we all assumed that it was going to be a Sony game, because obviously he got into bed with Sony, did Death Stranding, that was an exclusive, it's since come to PC, but they've always had a strong relationship, and it was assumed that strong relationship would, you know, continue through whatever he wanted to do. But then there were a lot of rumors the other month that it was actually Microsoft who was courting Kojima, because apparently Sony might have turned his next project down. And the reason I think it's the Google Stadia one is because he was clearly interested in that pitch. If you don't know, if you're watching this or listening to this and you don't know what I'm talking about, and when Google Stadia was a thing and they were wanting to make actual games, you know, first party games in-house and
back
stuff.
Back in the day.
Yep. Kojima actually pitched them a horror game, an episodic horror game, if I recall. And they were like, nah, we don't want this. However, Microsoft, as we know, buys everything, and it would look good from an optics perspective if they got a big coup like Kojima on their side. And I feel like they would kind of invest in an episodic horror game, because it kind of helps sell Game Pass. If you have one of these things coming out every month, every 2 months, it encourages people to get Game Pass, but more importantly, keep Game Pass, because you've got the next Hideo Kojima project coming. And I don't know whether it'll be like the main one he's doing, but if it seemed like he was really interested in it. Apparently this was the one that a bunch of other creatives were working on as well, so if they managed to get this in some form, I just think it would blow the house down and be a complete role reversal of E3 like 7 years ago, whenever, when it was Sony, you know, saying, oh no, it was PSX, I think, when Sony got Kojima out and he had no project there, but they were just we've got a partnership. That's cool.
That time when Kojima tried to walk down the stage and he got ahead of his own stage directions, and all the lights were like behind him as he was walking ahead of it. And it was like, oh, Hideo, could you not just sort of line this up, mate? It's a bit of a big deal. But that's the thing. It's kind of easy to forget that he is still ostensibly a free agent. Like, you know, Sony like footed the bill, got him out of Konami, and pulled him out of the POW camps of Konami and gave him a nice big check. Go make Death Stranding. But he's not beholden to Sony going forward. He could do other things, obviously, like the Stadia project, or on the Xbox side. I kind of hope that, you know, because every year we go into E3 and it's like, okay, is this going to be the one where Xbox go all out? Because, you know, you go across the entire 8th generation where they were sort of on the back foot. They have all these different franchises, all these different IPs that are kind of nascent, and different things that are finally back in the works now, like a new Forza, a new Fable. There's something else that they're doing as well. They're bringing about Perfect Dark. And there's things like that. And I kind of hope that, you know, they are like the expected things. And I would love something to just be so out left field like this. Because it's not, I mean, Phil Spencer had the Kojima logo behind him on one of his webcam things,
yep.
which fueled the whole idea that they were doing talks, and which was a whole other rumor that Xbox are making a play for the Japanese market because PlayStation and Sony aren't as well respected there right now or well regarded right now, and there's a bit of an opening in regards to Microsoft making the Xbox brand take hold in a way that it's never been able to do for the last sort of 20 years. So it's plausible. You never know, it's possible. At this stage, could you see something like, let's just go full banana sandwich. What if this is Silent Hill? What if this is, if Silent Hill, after all this time, goes to Xbox, goes to Game Pass, and Sony aren't even in the conversation anymore?
Scott Tilford, I'm going to say something that I will probably break in about 3 weeks, but I'm on a Silent Hill lockdown. I'm not talking about this Silent Hill gimmick until we finally know something concrete, because we've been on about it. We've been wondering whether it's going to be a PlayStation exclusive, wondering whether it's going to be an Xbox exclusive.
If it's even real, to be honest.
Wondering if it's even real. If they manage to get like Silent Hill, or if they manage to get Silent Hill specifically, because you know it sounds off the cards, but Konami has been saying that they're going to license out their IP more than they have previously. They're not doing things in-house anymore. They're actively taking pitches by the sounds of things. Whether or not they give it to Kojima, I'm not sure. But I mean, yeah, it could be a mad win. I don't think it'll happen, but that's only because I want to preserve my own sanity, because I don't want to keep having to comprehend these possibilities in my brain anymore.
I mean, I'm not gonna bust out the Sony are bringing back Castlevania as well thing, because we've been there before. I think we were there last year and the year before. But we'll have to wait and see. On the Sony side of things, they've said they're not attending E3, but the latest rumor, I think you picked something up, is that their latest rumor is that they're doing an event at the end of this month. So they're just going to sort of weigh out all the E3 hype and then assumedly try and come in alongside or afterwards and go, hey, by the way, this is what we're doing. We've done E3 predictions as like full videos outside the podcast stuff on the channel as well. And I have seen the likes of IGN doing E3 predictions, but just rolling Sony in as well, because the assumption is that they'll have something to show around that time period. So it's worth factoring them into some degree. So another thing that you had down, which is kind of just reading the tea leaves and doesn't have a interview snippet alongside it or anything, but is an interesting talking point, is that God of War Ragnarok is actually going to be coming out 2022. It's not called God of War Ragnarok anymore, and the PS4 version is cancelled.
Madness. Well, this is kind of what I've put together by reading a few rumors, but mainly from the Sony investor presentation thing that they released last week. You know, they had this big presentation about their plans for the fiscal year 2022 or 2023, whatever the one we're in now. And, you know, God of War was on there, but it wasn't listed as a PlayStation 4 game, but Horizon Zero Dawn was. They've obviously already announced that Horizon Zero Dawn is coming to PlayStation 4. And the assumption was that God of War, Ragnarok, God of War 2 might be as well. So that's the fact that it's coming out later now, it doesn't look like it's going to hit that 2021 date at all, otherwise they probably would have mentioned it by now. And the fact that it wasn't on this spreadsheet thing, to me, kind of indicates that they might be moving away from that, because there was a bit of backlash, you know, to the Horizon Zero Dawn Forbidden West thing. And by the time 2022 comes around, presuming that's its new release date, it might be late 2022 for all we know. You know, the working from home thing has just kind of thrown everything into disarray, and it probably would have been delayed anyway. You know, it was a quick turnaround anyway. And by the time we get to the end of 2022, I think the hunger will be there for more true exclusives, and the player base will be there to kind of embrace them as well. And a game like God of War 2, Ragnarok, will be a system seller. People will buy PlayStation 5s if they're available and people can get a hold of them to play that game.
I don't want to just sound like a big a-hole, but I think I don't want to see a major potential PS5 exclusive coming to PS4 in 2022. Like that, I mean, I get that does right by the PS4 owners, but I've already, the sales stats speak for themselves in regards to the PS5 is outselling where the PS4 was at this point in its life cycle. And obviously the PS4 went on to become the second highest selling PlayStation since the PS2. So it's just like, we're clearly doing well on the PS5 side. It's time to supplant that with, you know, true exclusives. And Returnal's like super solid, but I want to see more stuff like that, because Destruction All-Stars was not it. And I tried to like that game more. But in regards to God of War, like, I think... I don't know. I think that it potentially is a weird optics thing, but maybe they're just waiting it out so long so that it doesn't feel right to still have a PS4 version of that game after you've waited like a year or something. Because that was the thing watching Forbidden West. Like, that game looked absolutely gorgeous, but I do wonder if there are any restrictions they've had to put in place during the development, because they're like, well, we can't go too crazy with this because we have to make it work on PS4. Or whether they're just treating it the same way that a lot of devs treat games across the last few generations, where it's like, aim for the skies on PC and we'll make this work on consoles. You know, the comparison being, let's just aim for the sky on PS5 and we'll figure out a way of making it work on PS4 later, and it still is a PS5 game. I would hope that's the case, but there is obviously pitfalls to that, because look at Cyberpunk. If you don't, you know, spec it right, it can come out very wrong. But at the same time, I just hope that there are dedicated PS5 games going forward. What's your idea? Oh, just very quickly, what's your thoughts on how they will split those things? Because, like, for me, looking at the Forbidden West stuff, I was like, they're just going to take all this foliage out, all this detail, just make it so the frame rate works, and it'll pretty much be that.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much just going to be it. I think it'll fundamentally be the same or very similar game. I can't imagine wholesale features being cut or anything like that. I just, I agree with what you're saying. I feel like it's going to be in the details. You know, it's going to be in the foliage. It's going to be in the draw distance. Mm-hmm. It's going to be the way Aloy's hair moves while it's in the water, which looked really stunning on PlayStation 5. I think it'll be a lot of those details, and it'll play more or less the same. But when you get to the PlayStation 5 version, you'll just have something that loads much quicker, a more seamless experience, and something that looks better as well, you know, graphically. But I do agree with you that when we get into next year, there's obviously always still a place for supporting the PlayStation 4, but you do need those specific games that sell PlayStation 5s. And I think that, you know, it makes sense to support the PS4 on the major exclusives for the first year or so, but by the time we get to the end of the second year, and again, these things start becoming more readily available, you're going to want to increase demand in sales. And like I said, what better way to do that than God of War 2? The reason why I think it's not called Ragnarok is because there was some fine print in one of the Sony things where it was like, the title was subject to change, or the title hasn't been finalized. So it's kind of like, we've all assumed that it's called Ragnarok, but even in the first trailer, like, that wasn't confirmed. It was just said Ragnarok is coming, you know? Yeah. Totally.
I've seen that as well, like, in a lot of when people refer to it as something that's coming in 2021. And I think Corey Barlog at one point said it wasn't necessarily called God of War Ragnarok, but obviously that is just the thing that gets set up at the end of the first game, and that's the assumption that it'll be God of War Ragnarok, which I guess is maybe like a marketing thing. If you call it God of War 2, it's going to clash with the original God of War 2, and we don't want another Modern Warfare situation where there's like multiple different games overlapping each other or eating each other alive. Next thing, I've got to throw it out there. I've got to just throw this thing that could happen because it makes sense to happen, which is Master Chief appearing in Doom DLC. I'm throwing that out. Why wouldn't it happen? You're trying to push Halo. You're trying to remind people that Halo's a big old deal. You've got Halo Infinite coming later this year, unless it gets delayed again. But in theory, Halo Infinite's coming this year. The big old return of Halo, the 20th anniversary. Master Chief, assumedly, will be everywhere. He's already been in Fortnite, but I assume that he'll pop. I think there'll be a skin in Fall Guys. I think he'll be like, you know, it'll be playable in Minecraft. I was going to say Minecraft. I don't know. Something for the kids. Roblox, one of them. He'll be everywhere. And one thing that I think they can do, which makes the most sense, is just throw a Master Chief DLC pack out for Doom Eternal. I also think that because Bethesda and Microsoft have said that they're doing a twin Xbox conference, that you'll get all sorts of crossover stuff there as well. Yeah. Maybe just the likes of Wolfenstein 3 being announced, like we had the new Colossus. I think maybe that'll be called, I'm just going to throw a title out as the new Revolution. I think that might be something that they're going to go towards, considering that 2 ends on the big TV broadcast. They're all going to start storming the various Nazi bases and everything, take all that stuff back. I think 3 will be the big anarchic final installment of that. But all being Xbox exclusive stuff, it'll just be this big sort of, you know, championing Xbox thing. I do wonder, you've weighed on the Master Chief stuff, but I kind of hope that they also announce Doom 3. Because there's that whole wing of what E3 represents, considering that we took a year off last year, where it is for investors, it is for shareholders, and it is for companies to see that a certain brand is doing very well. And so, you know, Bethesda aren't adverse to saying, hey, by the way, Elder Scrolls 6 is coming. Years, it's probably going to be a decade before we even get that thing, just for the sake of securing further investment. So I would hope that Doom 3 gets some sort of announcement, but my main thing is Master Chief in Doom.
Very, very interesting that. I have another question for you. Is this potential DLC that you've concocted in your brain, is it going to be like a proper off-canon like experience, or is it just going to be a sort of skin of Master Chief is now playable in the campaign, and you can see him in the cutscenes because they are—they do have custom skins in Doom Eternal at the moment, I think. So would they do that, or dedicated thing?
That makes more feasible sense, I think, because the ink is sort of barely dry on the Bethesda acquisition in the first place, and to actually make a full on, you know, you're going up against Master Chief, because I just imagine Doom Guy fighting Master Chief the way that he fights Spartan Locke, but better. But at the same time, I mean, if you're Bethesda, you're Microsoft, and you have two flagship characters, then I guess you don't want one of them beating the other one, so they would sort of team up. But you are right, there are custom skins already in Doom Eternal. You can get the original Doom Marine, you can get Doom Slayer on fire. Like, you know, it would make sense if they do a whole media blitz thing to just let you play as Master Chief in Doom. I'll still tick that box. If that comes true, I'm still classing that as Master Chief in Doom.
I think it's a great shout, because what better way to drum up hype for this new merger than by doing something like that? You have all of these characters, all of these worlds at your disposal. And like you said, they're going to want to drum up hype for Halo Infinite anyway, which I imagine we're going to see at their conference. So why not put them in everything? Take the Terminator Dark Fate approach of just being like, the Terminator is now in everything, even a year and a half after the movie's come out. We don't know why he's still here. We had these agreements in long ago. The contract is still in the post somewhere. Can't get rid of him. So yeah, sure, I'd be up for this.
Gears, speaking of the Terminator Dark Fate stuff, with Linda Hamilton popping up in Gears 5, Master Chief in Gears as well. Just cross-pollinate, get him out, get him in everything. You might as well. I think that whole idea of them just sort of... like pushing Halo, because for me, I don't know if it is just me, just someone online saying the immortal phrase, is it just me? But I don't feel like the energy is there for Halo Infinite at all. And I just don't, that game is just like way off in the distance. I feel like, I mean, I'm a massive Halo fan, but I'm barely, I don't know if you're the same, like we're both pretty big Halo fans, but it's just kind of like, I'll wait and see. I'm not like genuinely stoked for it or anything like that.
Yeah. I think it just needs a solid reintroduction, you know? It's been on the back burner since it was delayed. It's had a lot of negative press back then. It hasn't come out swinging with its new reimagination. But I'm guessing that's what E3 is all about, you know? It's going to have a big footprint. And hopefully, if the marketing campaign is good and they do manage to just blitz it with this Halo Infinite push, we will be excited about it come, you know, 4 weeks' time or whatever, 3 weeks' time when we've gone through all this stuff. And then we're like, you know what, Scott? Halo Infinite actually looks good, and I'm excited for it again. That's the best case scenario.
It does look solid. I mean, I would hope so. That's the whole thing, though. Is like Master Chief has been in Fortnite, and I feel like most of us didn't care. I mean, I didn't. I don't play Fortnite, but like, it's not like it's not like we had all these. Oh my God, Master Chief's in Fortnite! Can you believe that he's there? And like, you know, it's not been a thing.
The thing about that is everyone's in Fortnite. Like every single person. My mum's been in Fortnite. You know what I mean? It's not really dropping surprising in when anyone turns up. I mean, I'm pleased people have fun with it. You know, like I was looking at the Galactus event. I thought that looks pretty cool. But there's never going to be a character that kind of gets me back in. I'm pleased they're there. But there's been so many crossovers. You know, John Wick's been in Fortnite. I feel like it's not this.
Lara Croft's hanging out there.
Yeah, it's not as big for me as if he was in Doom, you know?
No, I guess...
Historically, not had these crossovers.
True. I use it as like a bit of a metric on does the average populace, does the average gamer, the younger gamer, care about this franchise that was at its peak when they weren't even on this earth? That's ostensibly my go-to. But
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This podcast is brought to you by Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it just makes hiring all in one place so easy, because you just get unparalleled access to job seekers. Plus, listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/WCG. Just go to Indeed.com/WCG right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/WCG. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Next thing. Now, this is nebulous as hell, but there is a set of rumors doing the rounds, which, again, are completely undetailed. Just saying that there is a massive leak doing the rounds, which is, like I said, ridiculous to even talk about it this way. But that's what people keep saying. Oh, there's a massive leak coming. It's this big old thing and you won't believe it. Latest piece of info for that is that Xbox Era's Nick Baker weighed in and said that the massive leak that everyone's been talking about is related to Square. But that's it. That's all we have. So you kind of just have to speculate from there. But there have been various leaks doing the rounds, and Square had to get out there and say that this wasn't going to happen, that Square Enix were going to be bought by Sony, that would be the PlayStation equivalent to Xbox snapping up Bethesda. And Square said that their assets weren't for sale or something like that. At this time or something like that. They phrased it that way. But I do wonder if that is something that they might actually pursue, that Sony might announce after E3, just to steal whatever thunder comes out of the Xbox conference. Because Square Enix and Sony have only been getting more friendly over the last few years. You had the, Final Fantasy 16 as a timed exclusive. You have Square Enix making their new RPG Forspoken as a PlayStation exclusive. I think it's a full PS5 exclusive as well. They did the Spider-Man deal with them for the Avengers. You've got Final Fantasy 7 Integrate. That's timed for at least 6 months as an exclusive on PS5. So Square Enix seem to want to support PlayStation for whatever reason that is. And I wonder if they just sort of look to the long term and just say, well, we're clearly pro PlayStation. We have been for so long. Final Fantasy used to be on PlayStation. Obviously, it started on Nintendo, went across, it was a PlayStation franchise, until I think it was Final Fantasy 12 or whatever came across to Xbox, or 13, sorry. But yeah, what do you think of that? What do you think of if this is the way the industry is going to go, then PlayStation snap up Square Enix?
I'm conflicted on this, Scott Telford, because on the one hand, I'm sure Microsoft has kickstarted this weird race to just pick up as many, publishers and game makers as possible. Mm-hmm. And in the era of just last week, it being announced that Amazon was buying MGM, Microsoft just bought Bethesda, Disney bought Fox. We're in the age of these massive acquisitions at the moment. So I would never rule anything off. But because Square Enix has kind of come out and said, look, our assets aren't for sale, for me, I do think we'll see a big partnership between Square and Sony, but it'll be more down the third-party licensing route that they've been going down already. Like all of those games you listed off, like all those timed exclusives, all of those proper exclusives, it feels like there is already a partnership there. And I don't know if Sony would even want to spend all of the money to buy them when they could have this nice relationship anyway and spend less of the money with these third-party deals. And I feel like so many of my, predictions come down to, Sony essentially saying that they wanted more third-party support. They want more of these deals inked. They want more timed exclusivity. Right. And I feel like Square is obviously really open to that. So why buy them when you can just keep doing this? And then don't have to go through the hassle of spending billions of dollars on a company when you could just spend a couple hundred million.
But what if the solution to their current sales problem in Japan is an optical problem and they team up with Square Enix, arguably one of the finest studios that the East or whatever has ever produced, any Eastern territory, to suddenly align Square Enix with PlayStation again? That might solve that problem overnight, of just thinking that, you're going to get all these games PlayStation Now day one, and you can sign if you're going with Square Enix, then you're going with PlayStation, all those things start coming together.
It is. It's compelling, but the fact that they have already got these deals in place and some of these brands are so associated with PlayStation anyway, that hasn't necessarily helped at the moment. So I don't know what a full takeover would add to it, if that makes sense. True. I do see where you're coming from, and it's definitely possible. Like I said, anything is possible these days when it comes to these big takeovers.
If it starts getting really weird going forward, then you would gate off Square Enix so that Microsoft can't get them, or they can't get more deals on Game Pass and things like that. If that's the weird way this generation is going to go, then assumedly you'll start seeing more deals like that going forward. Do you have a very quick last minute prediction for what this massive leak could be? What comes to mind for anything goes Square Enix massive leak?
Square Enix massive leak. Honestly, I don't know. Like the thing, like you said at the start, it's so nebulous. Like it could be anything. There were some rumors that it's Nintendo. Some rumors that it's Square. It's like, is it real? Is it just one of those E3 kind of wild goose chases that ends up not happening? Like, you know, I don't know. I don't know, Scott.
I'm a massive fan of the fact that we've got to. I mean, we've been covering E3 like this for 5 years now. Maybe six, 7 years. It's been a while. We've been covering it in text form for longer. But still, I love the fact that we've got to this point in E3 coverage where just the idea of a leak is enough. And that's just, there's a massive leak, guys. And then just sort of run with that. We don't need anything.
It's like... It's like when movies started doing trailers for trailers. You know, it was like, here's the teaser trailer for the teaser trailer. It's like, don't do this.
The release date for the potential trailer for the movie itself, which then gets the director's cut. Next one down was the Guardians of the Galaxy game made by Square Enix, the game finally being announced. You think that they'll stress that it's like the Avengers that it's not like the Avengers without throwing the Avengers under the bus. Next gen exclusive. Do you think Guardians is the way to recoup a lot of the, let's say, lost positivity that went alongside the Avengers race?
I think so, because I always forget that this game was even confirmed. It was confirmed like 4 or 5 years ago at this point, and then we didn't hear anything because the Avengers project, that was taking the focus. You know, that obviously came out, that obviously made some kind of impact and is now struggling to get its player base back. And I think if you come out with Guardians of the Galaxy, they're never going to say that Avengers was a mistake. But I do think when they announce it, we will see a pivot away from some of the things, some of the biggest criticisms associated with Avengers. So I feel like when it comes
maybe
to...
Maybe you don't have 10 currencies. Maybe just 8 currencies. Good point. I don't know.
Maybe don't have a battle pass for every character, and also maybe make the battle pass stuff interesting. I don't know. That's just a
fun. I'm just saying, just throwing it out there.
Yes, I feel like this will finally be announced because, you know, for as much as the Avengers is still around, it will still probably have a presence at E3, get announcements for new DLC. Maybe we'll get a first look at Spider-Man. Like, that's more or less, quote-unquote, done now. We're now looking at the next thing in this Marvel deal, and it seems to be Guardians of the Galaxy. I think it was it Eidos Montreal? I can't remember. It was some more Square Enix teams.
Right.
I think it was the Tomb Raider team, maybe not. I feel like... Yeah, they have obviously been working on this for a long time, even though a lot of studios were collaborating on the Avengers. And I don't think we'll see a major look at it, but I think we'll get some first details, maybe a cinematic trailer, and maybe they could even tie it into the Avengers, you know, have them crop up in the Avengers first to tease the eventual release. I don't know if they'll do that, but I think it's time to see it.
If they were playing their cards correctly, then you would do a live event inside the Avengers and tell everybody that there's going to be one of those tachyon anomaly things is happening on one of the levels. Everyone turns up there, or whatever you're logged in at your, you log in in real time, you see the ship arrive, you see Star-Lord arrive, maybe you team up with him and fight someone. Do the Fortnite thing, do the Destiny thing, do the live event thing. That would be a great way to go. Next one down is the Super Nintendo Switch, which I think a lot of people online, including myself, hope that if we keep referring to it as this, Nintendo will call it the Super Nintendo Switch, because that is easily the best name for it, rather than a Switch Pro. But just that gets a full demo. But the one game that I think will go alongside this, because there is a leak for a leaked 2D Metroid game has been leaked by this long-term leaker called Zippo. And I don't think... referred to it is that it's a new 2D Metroid game. Apparently it's already finished. Said it's 200% done. All we're waiting on is a Nintendo announcement for it. I think that is a remake of Super Metroid. I don't think it is, Samus Returns upscaled. I don't think it is a brand new Metroid game. I think for the 35th anniversary of Metroid, you go back to what is literally one of the best games of all time, one of the most influential games of all time, and you remake that using the Samus Returns engine on the Super Nintendo Switch, 4K 60, DLSS, get it all fancy, get it all up there, and you reward the Metroid fans who have been waiting for a very long time for a, you know, console, home console Super Metroid, Metroid game, because it's been a long time since there's been a 2D Metroid for a home console. The last one was Samus Returns, which I think was in 2017 on the 3DS. So it's been a while. What's your thoughts on the old Super Nintendo Switch and the best way to show it off?
I would buy the ass of this thing if it comes out with like exclusives like this. I would take a bite of the cheek. If it came out with something like this, something like Breath of the Wild 2, which you might get onto, you know, if it has these, you know, I mentioned in the news video that we did last week, innit, of the many ones, because like I said, this is like the worst kept secret in video games at the moment that this thing is happening. And, you know, if they show it off, if it is an interesting piece of tech, if they have these games to back it up, then it's a day one purchase for me. It's a day one pre-order because I want to play these experiences that have been rumored or already announced in kind of hiding in the shadows a little bit. I want to play the best version of them. And if they give me enough to justify why I need to play it on the Super Nintendo Switch over the regular Switch, then I'm there. I don't need much convincing at the moment. I just need these games to be real. And if they are, I think that's, you know, such a strong showing. And I feel like it would make up for the disappointing showing that they had at the start of the year when people were expecting more. They were expecting bigger looks at Breath of the Wild 2. It would make sense why that was slightly underwhelming if they were saving it all to come alongside this console reveal, you know?
I think, like I said, you've got the 35th anniversary of Metroid, you've got the same 35th for Zelda, and it's, I think there's a Donkey Kong's 40th anniversary is this year as well, because there is a rumor going around that the Mario Odyssey team are working on the next Donkey Kong, so maybe they'll show that for the, like, do a full open world Donkey Kong game. That would be something kind of cool. You've got, you know, Bayonetta 3, Breath of the Wild 2, Metroid Prime 4. You've got these things that we've known about since 2017 in Bayonetta 3's case and Metroid Prime 4. That need to be shown off, and maybe at some point along development, you know, the last 4 years, it just makes more sense to wait and put them out alongside the newer system to push those system sales. And you've got the deep learning super sampling stuff, which apparently helps a lot of underpowered hardware achieve the looks or the frame rate or the resolution of the likes of the PS5, the Series X, things like that. Depends on the game. I know tech people are going to freak out, but that's what I've read. I've read that thing. I've heard that it's a thing. And apparently there is a way for the new Switch to apparently at least get closer to the PS5 and Series X. One last thing is the idea of Sony dropping an overhaul of PlayStation Now, that they will be overhauling the way that they approach, you know, getting exclusives on there, getting third-party stuff on there, making sure that the amount of games they get on there is, you know, pretty much as close to day one as possible. What do you think of them steering into this? I saw for this, when Sega announced the Sonic anniversary, there was immediately a PlayStation tweet where they said, hey, we've added Sonic Mania, Team Sonic Racing, and I think it was Sonic Colors. It was a third Sonic game onto PlayStation Now, and Sony have just been getting out there on the social media just saying like, hey, we've got games, we're adding them every month, here's what's coming, what's upcoming. It actually feels like they are trying to do a Game Pass style thing now.
Yeah, totally. I mean, again, this partly comes from that Sony investor thing, because I think it was mentioned on there that, oh, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure it was Spider-Man Miles Morales and maybe Sackboy were coming to it, which is quite soon considering they
were the Miles one.
Yeah, launch games for the PlayStation 5. And historically, it's taken a little while for those true PlayStation exclusives to come to PlayStation Now. It's never, ever been a Game Pass gimmick where, you know, their big deal is you can buy Gears of War 5, but you can get it day one with the Ultimate Edition on Game Pass if you want. And that's worked for them. That's awesome. And I feel like Sony's got to catch up to that in a way. I don't think they'll ever do that same thing of releasing God of War 2 or Horizon Forbidden West day and date on PlayStation Now, but I do anticipate faster turnarounds and more options to boost PlayStation Now's viability. And I feel like, you know, for as much as PlayStation has kind of maybe dropped the ball this year, when it comes to their services, I do think they've really had a good run. Like, you look at the PlayStation Plus games that have came out this year, and for my money, it's been one of the best runs they've ever had. Totally, I feel like the games every month, there's always something interesting there. The fact that they're rolling in PlayStation 5 games is also really cool. So the fact that I'm confident in their approach to that also makes me confident in their approach to PlayStation Plus. And I feel like, you know, the big overhaul they did last year, maybe the year before, I don't know, time's a flat circle, like that did a lot to boost subscribers. And if you look at the jump in subscribers since they did that, it was quite big. And I feel like the only way to grow the platform is to do something similar again and announce that, yeah, these games will come and they'll come much sooner. Hopefully they introduce more options when it comes to downloading the games and stuff like that. That would be fascinating. But yeah, I feel like we need some update on PlayStation Now, and maybe they'll link that with the PlayStation 5. You know, be like, well, now it's coming to PlayStation 5. We've been able to do all of this cool new stuff. We've thought about it in a different way. It feels right to do it now for me, in my opinion, especially, again, not to keep talking about this weird shareholder thing, but there was a pie chart in there, Scott, and I do love a little pie chart. There was a little mince pie chart in there where it said, you know, it showed how much Sony relies on consoles now as their kind of like profit base. And back in 2013 or something, it was like more or less half. I think it was just under half of their revenue came from a focus on consoles. Now it's like only 20% from consoles. The skew is so much more on services and software that I feel like, you know, they finally understand why Microsoft spent so much money and dedicated the past 3 or 4 years to making Game Pass a thing, because services are just kind of like where it's at. We are in this era now where this stuff just rules and dominates. This is why Amazon's buying MGM and stuff that. And Sony, I think, you know, is now kind of understanding this. And like I said, they have made steps in the past, but I do feel like whatever they do, they'll have a little thing to say about PlayStation Plus. And hopefully it's all the things I've said here.
Well, that it makes the most sense. I mean, I think that I've said so many times that Sony are a reactive company. And there was all the percentages that came out on the Xbox side about how profitable individual Xbox consoles are, that apparently Microsoft/Xbox don't actually make a profit on the Xbox machines as they are right now. But that'll obviously change going forward. But the that whole thing about they're quite cagey on their Game Pass profitability stats as well. Yeah. And I kind of feel like maybe behind the scenes, those things have started to get out and about in regards to Sony sort of getting an eye on, we actually really should have one of these services because this actually is the way it's going to go. And they've let Microsoft/Xbox test the waters with this stuff in a way that, you know, Nintendo's version is like, hey, we're going to give you NES and SNES games and really obscure stuff. And I kind of admire just how stupid the additions have been to that service compared to what's been on the monthly offerings on the Sony side. But yeah, it feels like the time is now to recognize that they do need to kind of catch up just for the sake of a sheer mainstream audience value for money service. You know, in terms of if you said to someone, which console should I get? I've got this much money to spend. Most of the time, if it's just sheer games you want to play, the Xbox package is way more profitable, unless you really care about those individual exclusives. So it's probably time that they got on that stuff. So yes, we have done, I don't know how many different stories we did there, 5, maybe 6 different things. We'll check back in next week, because next Wednesday will be our potentially last minute rumors. We'll see what breaks across the next week. And we'll just see what happens. Doom, Master Chief, God of War, Kojima, all skins in Fortnite. Don't worry about it. I'm sure it's all fine. But for now, this has been the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I've been your host, Scott Tailford, joined by Josh Brown.
It's been a pleasure, as always.
As always, we'll catch you next week. Bye-bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.